Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
My name is Will Koontz. This is Anna Hummel right here.
Hello.
Hello there.
Good to be back.
In your living room. Coming
to you from the couch.
New spot. New broadcasting spot. I like that. Good to switch things up every now and again.
Yes, I'm feeling like I want to be comfortable. So
that's good. I got a new chair back here. You probably can't tell because I got that stupid background, but I actually have an office chair now, which is nice. Really settling in, you know, to my office area where I work and do everything. I spend all day looking at a beautiful other condo, cookie cutter condo that looks exactly like the one I live in from a different angle. It's so nice.
I've never really heard someone try to frame a defeat like a win, but I think you kind of pulled it off.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to do. Looking on the bright side, you know.
No. That's defeat. comfortable defeat.
That's right. Well, we are here. It is Wednesday. We're here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. on willsyoutube.com, as well as on Sundays on Radio St. Pete, 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg within a 3-block radius on the FM there. And podcast HMB Radio on your favorite podcast app. You can get in touch with the show, text or voicemail. It's all down there where you can see it. 813-693-2124, thehomemadebroadcast@gmail.com. And welcome. Anna, how you doing?
I think I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
Rainy not today. Sleeping well.
Why?
Even though I was... Oh, because I didn't take my medicine last night, which I'd been taking a few days in a row. It's just a head game, man. Sometimes I lose my sleep confidence. Sometimes I share quarters with people who have sleep apnea but decide not to do anything about it. So, you know, it is what it is, but I'm here. We're good. Not doing jujitsu tonight, but I'll be back at it tomorrow.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. How long have you been living with your mans?
Like officially?
Yeah. Where you're like sleeping
next month, it'll be a year.
Okay. So you've been sleeping in the same bed for a while.
Yeah.
And so it's been about 3 months for me, and it's a challenge. It's not only a challenge for me, but I know it's a challenge for her too, because I'm also, I don't know if I have sleep apnea or not, but I definitely am a snorer.
And I know that's what I was inferring. Yeah.
That's been a big point of contention there with, not contention really. She just disappears, you know, in the middle of the night and goes down and lays somewhere else. Do you do that? Do you escape or do you suffer through?
Yes, especially this is my makeshift bed that I'm on right now.
It's
called the couch.
Okay. See, you're tiny.
But I don't mind it.
Yeah.
Actually, I quite like it. It reminds me of when I lived in Australia for about a year. And the second half of that stay, I was living with a Brazilian drug dealer, decided this was not a good arrangement. So I ended up living with a Thai couple, a Swedish girl, and then a Brazilian girl in my room. So we had a little like United Nations kind of deal. And the bed was so bad that I was 23 and I was having like back pain. And I knew it was from the bed because after a few hours of moving and grooving, I was fine. But every morning I'd wake up and I'd be like, this is terrible. So I just told the Thai couple as well as I could, because they could barely speak English. I go, I'm going to sleep on the couch because it's really bad in there. So I just slept on the couch every day for like 4 months. And I kind of liked it.
I mean, if you have a nice couch, it definitely could be worse. I mean, the floor might be better because it's got more, it's just flat and hard, you know, but.
Yeah, but again, because my back was hurting so bad from the bed, even though the couch was in the public area, I was just so grateful I could wake up without my back hurting. So. I don't know. It kind of just reminds me of those simpler days, I suppose.
Yeah, I was debating about buying it because I got this new office chair, and I was sitting in the kind of just this chair that didn't fit a desk. It was more just like a, almost like a kitchen chair, and it was mm-hmm. just killing. My shoulders hurt so bad every day. And actually, even now, I got this new chair, and my back still hurts from just sitting in an office chair all day long. But mm-hmm. I was debating, you know, they have some. I was surprised to find out how expensive office chairs, you know, were, how much you could spend. I mean, we're talking, you know, upwards of $500 to $1,000, you know, for a good office chair. And I got to be frank, I'm thinking about making the I bought a $100, $150 one on Amazon. I'm a little dubious of it, though, because, you know, the reviews, you could read reviews and people lie and they incentivize you to leave good reviews, even if the product sucks. So a lot of times these products are highly rated, but they offer you a $10 gift card if you rate the product high. So the chair I got, and I wanted to make sure, another thing about office chairs is they sometimes will not hold a lot of weight. And as we've talked about in past episodes, I'm super fat now. So I want to make sure I'm not going to embarrass myself or hurt myself by getting a chair that's not going to be able to support me. And this chair, that one of the top reviews was, I'm 310 pounds and 6'4", and this chair's great. I'm like, okay, well, that I'm not that big, so I should be fine. Then I look on the box, it says 320 pounds rated. I'm like, okay, great, great. And then on the back of the chair itself, on the safety label, it goes 220 pounds maximum on this thing. So this chair is not, you know, who knows what to
believe. Is it screaming?
It seems okay, but I can also see it maybe getting 6 months out of it before I'm going to need to replace it, because eventually
6 months out of a chair, that seems like not a very long time for a very expensive chair.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, like, it's not 150 bones is not super expensive for a chair. I mean, it's about But I mean, like, if I'm going to spend, and I'm almost kind of regretting it, that maybe I should have just taken the plunge and got the really nice chair, because it's I'm spending 8 hours a day in it, much like the bed. And if you're gonna if you're gonna be spending time in there, you might as well spend the money and be comfortable. So I'm kind of regretting the $150 chair.
Yeah, well, we'll find out. You know, when you have a really embarrassing fall, or you're caught on camera doing something dumb, bending over, and then the chair just snaps in half.
Not good.
And then the pole like sodomizes you, and then you die from internal bleeding. So, you know, time will tell, Will.
Yeah. I mean, I just hope that if it does break, it happens when we're doing a live stream on YouTube.
And one would only hope.
Did you ever see the video of Mo falling out of the chair? You were in the room.
I was in the room.
You witnessed
it. He was trying to throw like a piece of floss away in the trash can, and he was like leaning too hard and he just fell over. And I remember Johnny like squealing with excitement, running to Bone TV, Geo following him, and then I realized what happened, followed both of them, and then Johnny gets his phone out, starts recording on Bone TV and just losing his mind.
I'm seeing if I could find it, because I remember I saved it. And I wonder where I saved it.
Johnny literally goes, "Oh!" and then runs away.
Yeah, it was really good. I know I saved it. Oh man,
you gotta find it and send it to me.
I should have access to this. Do you remember what it was called?
Mo falls out of his chair on the BDRS. I don't know.
Here we go.
You got it. You got it. He's going down. You punk bitch. Oh yeah. Fall, bitch. Fall.
Yeah, there goes Johnny Ramos. Oh, there's you. I remember that chair in there, and I was always afraid that that thing was, because there was a lot of, I mean, fat people in the radio business. You know, Mike had his own chair.
Did you see Gio just take off running? Imagine your first instinct isn't to help the person, but to catch it on film.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good stuff. He did the right thing, though. He got it on camera. Yeah.
And he jetted out of there so fast.
That's really all you can hope for. Yeah, that was dry. I was so worried about that chair. I think Mike, when he was in studio, brought his own chair out because he had the industrial, like, $575 chair that Spanish would drag in there every morning, and then he would, you know, drag it out at the end. Mm-hmm. Drew's pretty svelte. Monica's a toddler, so not really a lot of danger there. But then you had, you know, after that, it was, you know, Drew's, like I said, he's in good shape. He's no danger there. Mo's teetering on the edge. I don't know how much Mo weighs, but Mo's a big guy. And he's probably over.
Yeah. Have you gotten bigger since I last saw him?
I don't know.
He just kind of stays the same.
Yeah, I know he used to go to the gym and stuff, but he's probably, you know, probably over 225 even at his best.
Which he's tall. He's a tall man. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Johnny was, you know, the mammoth of the man. You know, he's half the man he used to be now with his weight loss. But that chair took a beating for a long time. And I was surprised that it didn't happen to anybody else. It got too casual, though. You can't just be living your life. You should feel a little bit on edge when you're sitting in these chairs. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be super comfortable leaning back. And I mean, these are plastic parts that are just, you know, ripe for just snapping. And maybe Mo was hoping for workman's comp. I don't know. But it was definitely a dangerous move on his part. But I was glad that that's on video. And I'm glad. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and save that so I have access to it whenever. And I'll send it to you as well.
Oh, please do. Yeah, that was a great memory. One of my favorite, for sure.
From chairs to, I had a few things to talk about this week. This one kind of came across my, I just thought it was interesting because it was about whiskey. And I do enjoy, you know, a good whiskey, as we know. And apparently the pandemic here over time, people were just getting hammered on Jack Daniels during the pandemic. And people are either now trading up or trading down. Like Jack Daniels Brown-Forman product, which is like the American classic. I think when you think of whiskey, you're thinking of what? Like Jack Daniels or Jim Beam, right?
And I know that all bourbon is whiskey, mm-hmm. but not all whiskey is bourbon.
Correct.
When I think whiskey, I think like scotch.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I think of like bourbon, I think of Jack Daniels is bourbon, right? Or no?
Jack Daniels is whiskey, Tennessee whiskey.
Okay.
So
okay.
What makes bourbon, my understanding is what makes whiskey bourbon.
Mississippi, or has to be, well, let me just try to remember. Is it in Kentucky, like distilled in Kentucky or bottled in Kentucky? What is it?
So that's a common misconception. You can have bourbon from any state. I do believe it has to be in America, though, because like if you even it consists of what the mash bill is. So as long as the whiskey is 51% corn on the mash bill, meaning that 51% of what it's distilled from is corn, it is a bourbon. But I'm not sure if it's, you know, if a, you know, a Japanese, you know, like a Suntory or something did a 51% corn mash bill, if it would still be considered bourbon. I think it might have to be from America, but that might not even be true. I'm not sure.
What is the other 49% can be whatever?
Well, yeah, typically you're talking about, you know, like a rye or, you know, there's some other stuff too. What else do they use? Not barley, but there's another grain that they use too, typically in whiskey. So usually it's corn and rye, and there's one other one that I can't. That's just a little bit, which I guess is the, you know, malt, whatever Scotch is. I haven't gotten into Scotch.
What is vodka distilled from?
I think vodka is distilled
from anything, like potatoes or
grain of. Yeah, maybe I don't know. I thought potatoes were vodka. No.
I think potato vodka is a specific type of vodka, but I always thought it was grain, like a different, I don't know. I really don't understand much about fermentation and the process of making alcohol. So
yeah,
I do know this. I think that I could be wrong, but I think fruit that ferments turns into alcohol, and then alcohol that further ferments turns into vinegar. Does that sound plausible, right? On the right track.
So alcohol, I don't know where is alcohol an acid or a base? Because vinegar is an acid.
Sure.
Is alcohol kind of its own thing?
I don't know where it is on the pH level. I would think acid, but I don't know. I don't know anything ever. I think fruit is more on the acidic side. I don't know. I thought most fruit's on the acidic side. And then that gets fermented into alcohol. And then alcohol, if you like leave a glass of wine on the table for like a week or two, then it turns into vinegar. Like you get that mother of vinegar.
Yes.
I forget what they call it.
Yeah.
Sobe? Or is that a kombucha thing? I'm getting confused, Will. I know nothing. So all the bits and parts of information are coming out all at once, and I apologize.
It's definitely making sense, and I think you're on the right track there, because if you leave a bottle of wine out for too long, it does become vinegary.
So you get the thing on top, the mother of vinegar. I don't know what, I think it's called like a sobe, a yobe, an ube noodle. I don't know what it's called, but it's gelatinousy, and it's like the, what do you call it? I don't know, some sort of bacteria, acetyl bacteria, I forget, but that further ferments it into vinegar.
It's like,
so I was wondering, if you just leave juice long enough, will it turn into apple cider vinegar? Will the apple just turn into apple cider vinegar and help my gut propagate the proper bacteria it needs to process my food properly is what I want to know.
Well, doesn't kombucha can become alcoholic, right? Because they have alcoholic kombucha now. And kombucha has that weird blob that sits on top of it.
That's the sobe, ube. I always thought it was from a mushroom. It's not.
I think it's a mold, a slime mold.
I don't know if it's, is mold bacteria, and is every bacteria mold? I don't think it is.
I think mold's its own thing.
It's definitely not mold. I don't know, but I don't think so. They call it something like a mushroom tip, mushroom stamp. I don't know, dude.
All right, let me look. What is the kombucha?
We gotta figure this out.
Yeah, this is gonna drive me nuts now too. The kombucha drink mother made of. The kombucha mother is the SCOBY. SCOBY.
It's an acronym.
The symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast.
Preach.
It's the SCOBY is made up of lactic acid bacteria, acidic acid bacteria, and yeast. Gross.
Do you understand? Do you see how that was like 75% right? Like I was like I wanted to say acetyl, but it was acid, lactic acid bacteria. Sobe, SCOBY. Do you understand? This is how I remember things. Not well.
It definitely makes sense. And I had a roommate who had one of those. Like before kombucha was really a thing, he was really early on the train and was making his own. And he had the mold that sat on top of the refrigerator, and he would open it up and just drink it. And the little SCOBY thing would touch his lips, and it would make me vom. It's so revolting. So revolting. I wonder what happened to that guy. I want to know what happened to my old roommate. I had in St. Pete. He was like this. I met him originally because he was trying to do comedy, like way back in the day, many years, 20 years ago. And then he became like this hippie musician dude. And he lived in my little tiny little crap box apartment in the old Northeast with the broken stairs. And it had a very tiny little room, and he hung a hammock up in there, and he would sleep in a hammock and then drink the kombucha mold, the SCOBY, and he would touch it, and he would touch his lips, and he had this dumb dog Nala that had fleas, and he didn't believe in flea medication for the dog. So when he took the dog out of town, I had a flea infestation in my house because the fleas had nowhere else to go. I wonder what he's up to now. I certainly hope not. I hope he's doing very well.
Kombucha, I think, if my memory serves me well, I think it's fermented tea. Don't quote me on that.
Okay, that makes sense. But the Jack Daniels, anyway, getting back to this thing, because I am a Jack Daniels can put out some really fine liqueurs there, some really good whiskey. The Jack Daniels 12 is phenomenal that came out, and I believe they're releasing a Jack Daniels 15, which are almost impossible to get. I have a 10-year and a 12-year sitting on top of my collection there that I'll probably never open. But also, too, at the same time, there's so much good stuff. So some people are saying that, you know, the Jack Daniel's number 7 has a price at about $22. You could spend an extra $10 and get something that's so much better. People are really hunting after it. It mentions here, like, people are getting paid. This guy got paid in fancy whiskeys. He says this guy, he's a tile setter. He lives in the Chicago suburbs, told the Wall Street Journal that a client paid him to tile a backsplash with 5 pricier bottles of bourbon, including a Stag, Eagle Rare, and an E.H. Taylor. And that really got him into the process. So people are just working for booze now. This is like the old school. That's what they used to do, just bring whiskey out for the workers. Remember when everybody, the pictures of the, you know, old timey guys and one eye is just over here and one is over here and they're all cross-eyed and they're, you know, bruised and battered. And you go, wow, these guys look like they were drunk. And it's because they were drunk. They would just bring out to keep the workers motivated. They would just feed them whiskey all day long. And then they would be doing these, like, you know, laborious jobs. But they'd be hammered all day. And that's essentially what we went back to during the pandemic. It was just not high intensity jobs. It was just, you know, sitting at a computer talking to imbeciles all day long on the phone. So I thought that was a little interesting, maybe not to you, but I thought it was fascinating about how these, you know, mid-tier classic, you know, brands are suffering because you can either get something a little cheaper than $22 that gets the job done for people who are just drinking to drink, or you can spend the extra $10 and you can get something that's, you know, way better.
Quality, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So these classic brands now are kind of getting squeezed. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Maybe not. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text message line here. You can use that anytime. I have gotten some follow-ups from an attorney's office that I do need to look at because I am apparently being sued. Allegedly, we learned that. So that's fun.
And how are you settling in?
Settling into
mentally,
what?
Mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I need to do these check-ins with you because we really don't really talk. Well, no, that's not true. But we usually catch up on this show. And I feel like, you know, you mentioned getting the new chair that you may or not be, you know, well suited for. How are you settling into this new routine schedule lifestyle?
Okay. I mean, it's okay. It's not ideal, but it's I'm doing fine. You know, I'm doing well. I'm excelling at my job. I hate my stupid job that I have, but I'm good at it, and I'm doing well. I'm just hoping that I'll be able to. In fact, I had a one-on-one with one of my direct supervisors this week, and we had it scheduled for an hour and a half. So I was like, "Oh, good, I could get off the phones for an hour and a half." And she just said, "You're good. Your numbers are fine, so you can just go ahead and take a break for the next hour." And I was like, "Oh, that's awesome." So I'm hoping, I'm just keeping my nose to the grindstone, hoping to graduate into something new in about 4 months or so where I can be off the phones a little bit. And see, the thing about me is I know that I'm competent, so I'll be good at whatever I do and I'll excel at it. I just needed somebody to give me an opportunity. And while it's working for a corporation and not doing radio like I want to be doing, it's still somewhere to go where you can move your way up the ladder. And that's intriguing to me. But okay. So yeah, I'm just feeling like, yeah, well, it's kind of embarrassing for me to be starting at this level where I'm making, you know, $17 an hour and then working this other job and just burning the candle from both ends and still trying to hold on to some sort of semblance of a, you know, radio persona, run a radio and podcast, like staying in the media business somehow. I mean, pretty much I just do this once a week with you, and I do the weekly checkup on Saturdays on the bone, and sometimes they throw me a bone and give me a couple hours, you know, after that. So it's, you know, it's not ideal. It's just I can't do anything about it. You know what I mean? Like, there's very little that I can do. I've reached out. Even if I were to go work for another radio station or something, I don't want to play music. I would rather... I just don't want to do that. I don't want to talk for 13 minutes an hour. I don't know. Maybe if it was the right opportunity or something that could bloom into something, maybe I would consider it. But it's Yeah, I mean, it's just really, it's such a limited niche of trying to do it in this business and in this form of long form FM talk radio or podcasting or whatever. It's just not, I just kind of, I'm not saying I accept a defeat, but I also accept that, like, this is the way it is, and I still have my foot in the door, and we'll see what happens. I'm not thrilled, but also, what am I going to do? My options are limited. I'm not going to just going to fold either. Yeah. I have to keep going and do something. So
you sound more optimistic than you were a couple weeks ago. So I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like I have to just move forward. That's kind of my attitude. It's like the Churchill quote. Like, when you're going through hell, keep going. So that's
what quote is that? Churchill? Is that what he said?
Yeah. When you're going through hell, keep going. That type of thing. So yeah, it's not ideal. I've gotten rid of a lot of people. I heard Johnny did Dizzy's podcast a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Did you listen? Well, see, you, I don't want to get you involved in this because you're Switzerland. You have no skin in the game here. You're friends with me. You're friends with Johnny, and you don't really have an opinion about anything either way, really. But I did listen to that podcast. I talked about it on the radio. I had a really good, fun week of radio a couple weeks ago because it was, I got to address that on air. And then Mosh Jelton called in and just made an ass out of himself. And Mike Calta called in, and it was just phenomenal radio for 45 minutes. So that was really fun. Good day. Great stream. I put it out as a podcast with Mosh and Mike fighting, which was really good. And
I listened to all of it.
Oh, man. I'm still getting plays from that one. That was really good content. Yeah, so that was fun, and I got to address the. It was interesting to hear Johnny's point of view on some things, and I would say about, 15% of the things he said, I go, I understand what he's saying. I get that. I may not agree with
him on your show on the weekly checkup, or
I had a few hours on a Saturday.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
I don't have like a show or anything. They just give me hey, we have a few hours to kill. Do you want to come in and do something? And that's what I've been doing. But it was interesting to hear his perspective on it. 15% of it, like I said, I was like, okay, that's fair. At least I don't agree, but I can see where you're coming from. And the rest of it, I just wanted to pull my hair out. It's interesting. It's interesting to see, to hear his point of view there. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I definitely hold some guilt, or not guilt, blame, for him, but also at the same time, I don't know if I'd be able to even do anything if I'm doing this job that I have now, which I accepted, I think, even before I quit. So I'd be doing that job, then trying to keep up with this other job, then trying to do radio at night. It probably wouldn't be working out anyway, so I'd probably have to quit. But yeah, it's my 40th year. I have to have health insurance. So I went ahead and did what I had to do there. But you know, it's not ideal, like I said, but it just kind of is what it is. So, does that answer your question? I feel like I didn't really.
It does.
Answer your question.
It does. I just I wanted you to kind of ramble just so I can kind of get a feeling of where you're at mentally, and I feel like you at least have like more energy than when you were first adjusting to your new schedule, because you didn't seem very enthusiastic, and I feel like, at least for me, and maybe this is the same for you as well, and I can't remember if I've said this on this podcast or where, but sometimes the hardest part is between like what's happening and accepting what's happening. Mm-hmm. Once you can kind of fill that gap, everything becomes much easier. You know, when things aren't going well at work, or, you know, a bad relationship, or whatever the case may be, once you finally accept that you're at where you're at, then you're able to just go, it is what it is, or I'm going to move forward. But oftentimes it's like, no, everything's fine. No, I wish it wasn't this way. I feel like I have that thought often. But now, because I'm mindful of it, my prefrontal cortex will kick in and go, it's not that way. You know, because I'm just like, oh, like, I'm like, why isn't it like it should be this way? Why is this not happening for me? And I go, well, it is. This is your reality. accept it, live it, understand it, and now what are the steps we need to do to get, you know, to point B or whatever the case may be. But usually between that gap between what is and what you want to be, you know, what they say, the old adage, the you know, disappointment is not the distance, but that between what expectation and reality, right? Like that difference when you were, even if it's a good outcome, but it's not what you expected, you're disappointed.
Yeah. I'm disappointed. I mean, but I'm disappointed.
Yeah, I'm not disappointed in your case, but that's where the negative emotions kind of come into play, where it's like, oh, I got a bonus, but I thought I was going to get, you know, $10,000 and I got five. Okay, but you got $5,000. Yeah, but I was expecting 10. Mm-hmm. Now you're disappointed, or now you're angry, or now you feel like it's unfair. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I do know what you mean. And yeah, I mean, there's definitely some of those. I don't remember what the guy's name was. There was many years ago when I was in school, in college, there was a girl I met in my economics class that I really liked. And I was trying to court her, and I would talk to her. And I wasn't like a ballsy type of person where I would go up to girls and just like start talking to them. But I liked this girl, and I talked to her, and we became friends. I never landed that plane, but we did become friends. And I remember when I was in my courting process, she had these weird connections. I don't know. She knew weird people, and she got invited to see this like monk. It's like, you know, like rich white people, they bring in these like monks from India who are, you know, supposed to be wise and be able to bestow this wisdom. And I suppose they are in certain ways, but you know, I don't know how much this monk made, but they flew him from India, and he was sitting in this, very beautiful house on, I think it was Reddington Beach or something. And I ended up there with this girl, and he said something that I really got a lot of wisdom out of. And I was also spent the day at the beach, and I was pretty hammered. So I was lubed up, feeling good and ready to talk to a monk. And I forget the question I asked him, but he gave I remember his answer. And it was that people in America are so, like, if they're stuck in traffic, they're hitting the steering wheel, they're mad, they're late, oh my God. Like, but there's really nothing you can do about that. Literally, like, it's okay, I'm late, I'm stuck in traffic, I'm nothing I can do about it. And that's such a simple concept, but at the same time, that really made me, like, that's true. Like, there's certain that you can control what you can control, and there's other things that are just totally out of your control. No matter how hard you try, there's nothing you can do about it. So that's all. I found that very, it's such a simple thing. It's almost silly saying that it's like a deep comment.
No, I get it. It's kind of, I think he was trying to give you advice on managing stress and how maybe Americans versus other cultures manage stress. It's like, it seems simple to be like, why are you stressing about things you can't control? And you're like, I don't know. My body just does it. Like, I don't know. Like, there's so many things you stress about that you can't control. It makes more sense to stress about things you can control, right? Because then the stress will motivate you to work faster, procrastinate less, whatever.
And so, that's the thing. It's like, okay, so I can't control the fact. Well, it depends on who you ask. So some people will say I walked away from, you know, my radio career or whatever. And I just say there was something that I wanted out of it that I didn't get. And so I left. That's the angle I look at it from, but I understand the other angle too, to a certain degree. So now I move on to the next thing. So I can control this new thing. I can control my performance at this new thing that I'm doing, and I can move on from there. And hopefully, you know, because I'm trying to do a good job and I am doing a good job, that I can move up and progress and at least live a life, you know, like I remember Johnny saying, like, I just want to be able to shop at Whole Foods and not have to worry about checking my bank account. Like, that's a decent life. Like, the middle class lifestyle is really hard to achieve in America to a certain degree. But if you have a job with a corporation that's a conglomerate, you can get there if you're semi-competent and you work hard. You can work your way into a six-figure salary. That's not that much anymore, really. I saw a story that you need, I think it was like $160,000 to live solo in the Tampa Bay area and get a house. Like, so that's a lot of money, but you can get there pretty easily if you just put your nose to the grindstone, keep going. So that's kind of my mentality now. Like, that's what I'm working with. Am I keeping my eyes open for other opportunities in a profession I'd actually want to do? Absolutely. Am I keeping, you know, trying to make connections for, you know, editorial at this company where you can get into the editorial department, then I can be doing broadcasting in the sense of doing voiceover for videos or creating content for this conglomerate. That could probably net me a pretty penny if I head in that direction. So I think it's just accepting where I'm at now, not giving up, but just like, I'm going to make the best of whatever situation I'm in, period. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Good. I think that's a good approach. I like this, Will. I like this mindful Will, because I know that there was a time period where you seemed just really angry and hurt about how things were going. And not necessarily like about other people, but just about the circumstances. And now I feel like you got the right mentality. So,
yeah, I mean, it's not, I still have that, like, it's not fair mentality though as well, for sure, because it isn't. I have a lot of people in that building that go, yeah, that sucked. That's unfortunate. That wasn't cool. And I don't know why it was allowed to happen, but whatever it was. And also, too, you know, I know I'm good at this and I would be very successful if I was given the opportunity. But there's just no opportunity there right now. Now, is, I don't know what Roger and JP are doing. They got to be thinking about maybe packing it in soon. But they could also be on air for another 10, 15 years. So who knows? And I'm going to be 40 this year. So, again, I need health insurance. So,
is that messing with you?
What's that?
Is that messing with you, that landmark age?
I mean, it kind of is now that I'm thinking about it. I didn't think it would bother me, but it is weird being like, I got ruined for me because somebody goes, you're in your 40th year. And I was like, oh, I'm like living it now, my 40th year. So I'm 39, but I'm living my, going into my 40th year. So that kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's just a number, right? It doesn't matter.
40 is not when you start your 40th year. Your 40 is when you've completed your 40th year.
Right. Because you turn one after you've been born a year.
12 months, right. You've been alive for a whole year, but you ain't one yet.
Yep. You're aged in months that first year. And then after that, you're one.
And when you're one, that's you've completed one.
You completed one.
So when you get to 40, you've completed 40.
Completed 40.
Ooh, yeah. So, ooh, yeah. I don't like that. No. But yeah, yeah.
I don't either. So, yeah, it's definitely messing with me a little bit. I mean, again, that's just another thing I can't do anything about. I'm not going to be getting any younger. I'm only going to be getting older. So,
yeah.
I need to do things that are good for me. Joe, bless Joe's heart. He's in here. Create the opportunity. He's in here chatting by himself before anybody's even here. And I appreciate that. I love that.
I called him out today on the show. He's been banned from like all of our platforms because he upsets people.
What? Joe?
Well, I mean, he's very kind to me and we have very nice correspondence. But, you know, I've heard from other people that sometimes they don't appreciate the contributions that he makes. So he's just been banned from every chatting platform. And Joe, you mentioned yesterday... Poor guys, like he. I don't know if what you know about Joe, but he is bedbound, can't move. He got in that situation because he was doing angel dust with Puerto Rican hookers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and it messed him up. And he streams, I think, on Twitch. And someone sent him a Keurig last week, and then the people in his nursing home, his facility, they took it away from him. Like he wasn't. And they didn't even like tell him, hey, where it is. They just, it was just gone. It just violated the rules. They didn't even ask, but they left the K cups. So now he's got a bunch of K cups, but no, no Keurig machine to brew it. So it's a really sad situation. And he was messaging me about it yesterday. And he's like, I miss when you used to call me out on the radio, but I can't chat. So I was just chatting him out today, even though he wasn't in chat, and he just really liked that. So I'm sorry, Joe. We're thinking about you. I'm sorry you're bedbound because you made horrible decisions doing angel dust with a Puerto Rican hooker. But it is what it is. He loves Jesus. He's a big fan of Jesus. So he always calls into my show when I do my show on Fridays and tells me how much Jesus means to him. And I'm just like, Jesus is awesome. And then you know what happens, Will? People donate money as a snipe. So they'll donate like $100 and then I have to hang up on him. So because I got to respect the dollar.
Right.
So poor Joe is like finally getting it out. And about 30 seconds into his, you know, he's finally talking to another human being, connecting with someone. I get a snipe and I'm like, bye, Joe.
You got to do what you got to do, you know.
You can't win, and I feel so bad, but, you know, I got to respect the money.
I think Joe understands. I think so.
He does. Sweet man.
I can't tell if this is an insult or not, but Javier spelled my name like the female body part, and he said, I want to know if Will is going on the Calta cruise. No. No, never been invited, and no, I'm not going. Will, do you, here's Joe. Are these the type of comments that people don't like? It's like stuff like this. Do you lean
left? No, it's, I think he calls people out. Again, he's always very kind to me, so I don't want to talk trash. But what I've heard is that he starts calling people out specifically about personal things on the air that he gets wind of. Yeah, and they don't like that. So we have to start banning his comments, and then he does it more, and then we have to ban him.
Joe. And the answer is I lean forward, Joe, not left or right when I fart. Let's see. Kevin, howdy ho. Hi. How are you? Fat Pig loves Joe. He says, hey, Joe. New headband. Yep. Well, no, this one's old. Well, I'm glad I went back to these comments. Thank you for the comments, everybody. I do certainly appreciate it. And Anna, it's about that time. I gotta go get some dinner. I know that you are.
Oh my word, the time flies.
The time does fly. I had a few things. I had DeSantis talking about kicking people, squatters, out of homes. We didn't even get to that, unfortunately. I had some other stuff. I had this expert slam America's disgusting obsession with incest among the porn consumption in this country. Apparently we're very into incest.
No, it's always like stepbrother, stepmother. That's not incest.
Yeah.
That's not incest. That's hot. Okay.
Fair enough.
There's a difference. You know why it's hot? Because it's kind of naughty.
You heard it here first.
Naughty thing. You know, you're not supposed to sleep with your stepmom. But it's not gross because she's not actually your mom. But actually your mom.
True.
She's just your mom's age. Probably younger and hotter with big fake bloobies, okay?
Yeah, you're hot. Stepmom, stepson, step fantasy. Yeah, you're right. That's not really the same thing.
No, it's not incest at all. God. That's incest. The Whitakers in Appalachia, that's not hot. Have you seen this family?
I have, yeah. Yes. Big Barker. Yeah. I actually watched that semi recently. But you're right. Stepbrother, stepsister. That's just, I think it's just a product of, broken homes in the country of, being a product of divorce where half of marriages end up, you know, a lot of mixed families out there. Obviously, if you got a hot stepsister, you're going to be thinking about that. And then when you search these videos, it might be something that pops up on your feed that you might be interested to check out. I don't know.
Let me ask you this before we go. Just a simple question to leave you with. Do you want to get married?
I guess.
Oh, dear. Did I? You weren't expecting that.
I don't know. Like, I'm so old now. What's the matter? I'm in my 40th year.
Oh, I'm not trying to push you to do any. I'm just curious where your head's at. Like, if you want to, if you don't want to, I guess that's what I'm asking.
I don't know. I feel like I'm way past, like, even, I worry that I'm be too old to have kids here pretty soon. So
that's not what I asked. I asked about marriage.
Yeah, but I feel like they go hand in hand.
Not always.
Not always, but yeah, I feel like always. They kind of do, you know, love and marriage and the baby carriage, right?
Yeah. But so you're saying if you're quote too old to have kids, you won't ever get married? Is that how you feel?
No, not necessarily. Because it is a thing, like, stability thing for your partner.
Sure.
So I get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I wasn't sure if it was. Sorry.
I was just going to say the alternative is looking up, stepmom pornography the rest of your life.
Yes. Those are the only two options.
Those are the only two options. There are only two options: marriage or stepmommy porno.
Blasting your stepmom.
That's right.
That's it. That's the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thank you, Anna Hummel. You can catch her on the Bubba Love Sponge show, wherever that plays. And you can check me out on the Weekly Checkup on the Bones Saturday mornings and willsyoutube.com, hmbradio.com, and on your favorite podcast app. I got extra content that's only available over there. So go check me out. For Anna Hummel, my name is Will Koontz. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Farewell.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.